This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
God bless you today. It's good to be here with you. We were driving a back road in our valley, Big Valley, Belleville, and stopped by a barn stand one day, my wife and I, to buy 2 gallons of apple cider. And after a few minutes, my wife and children came out to the vehicle, and they jumped in, and the children had the apple cider. My wife had a beautiful yellow-green apple. And my wife said, "Look, show me the apple." And she said, "God gave me an apple." I said, "Oh, how'd he look?" And she said, "What?" And she had this quizzical look on her face, and I said, "Well, you told me that God gave you an apple. How'd he look?" She said, "Oh, it was just an Amish lady." Well, I smiled. You know, God meets us in all sizes and shapes and forms and races and in ways we might miss if we were not alert. God is not limited in ways to meet us and answer our prayers or to bless us. Watch for God today, and don't miss his visitation. The topic assigned to me today is titled, "Prayer, the Most Powerful Weapon in Kingdom Work." It's been said that prayer is an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of worship, of warfare, of sacrifice. If any of you have spent time in prayer and have wrestle with the kingdoms of darkness, you know it's a sacrifice. It's a warfare. Prayer is an act of labor. It's an act of love. I'd like to turn to Luke 18, verses 35 through 43 as a part of the intro this afternoon. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which were with him, rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Just a note here that God listens when you pray with your voice. God wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you. There is no other voice in the whole wide world like your voice. When Jesus heard the blind beggar crying out, I think he felt it in the gut. He heard the blind man crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when he heard the voice of the blind man crying out, he recognized the voice. Jesus loved hearing the voice of the blind man. He called him near, and he could have healed him instantly, but he didn't. And what he did? He asked the blind man to say something. Did Jesus need to know what the blind man wanted? Of course not. He knew what the blind man wanted. That's the way it is with us. God loves to hear your voice. He knows what you need before you ever ask him. It's not like you're coming to God and you're saying, you know, you ask him a question, you ask him for a request, you pray, he doesn't know what you need. No, God knows exactly what you want and what he needs. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is coming by. He's already there. Nothing's hidden from God. He knows what we need today. God listens when you pray with your voice. No, there's no voice like yours. Clearly articulate what you want or your request. The blind man didn't speak vaguely or indirectly. when he called to Jesus. He was desperate and spoke his request loud and clear. He could have went off like this: "Dear Jesus, thank you for this pleasant day, and thank you for friends and relatives." And you know, we do sometimes. We just kind of go on and on. And we'd like to ask your request, Jesus. No, he said, you know, "Jesus, have mercy on me." He was clear with his request. Now, a quote by D.L. Moody, who says, "Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure." Oswald Chambers says, "Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work." Imagine with me just for a moment a beautiful world, a world where there's no poverty or loss, a world where there's justice and none are oppressed, where there's no drugs or alcohol or suicide, a world where dad and mom love each other and stay together, a place where singing is heard and joy is the norm, babies are celebrated, no depression, no hurt or sorrow or bitterness, only happiness and smiling. I like the song, "The Unclouded Day." "Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies." One of the verses says, "Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there. And his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day." Imagine a world where you don't have to lock your doors, where we share freely our goods, and we fight only to let the other person go first. A world where we never even worry about public shootings or another 9/11, where every home is a place of beauty and rest and singing. In this world, everyone will have plenty enough. No one is greedy. There are no wars or even rumors of wars. Where people hug and kiss because they mean it, and not because there's something up their sleeve. A world with less thistles and more wheat and corn and beans or whatever. Can you imagine this kind of world with me just for a moment? Perhaps your image is a bit different than mine. And you know, this world is possible now. Not sometime in the who knows when, but now. But this is only possible through prayer. We can pray heaven to earth. In the Lord's Prayer, it says this: "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Three words today I want to give to you in this thought of the thought of prayer. Three words: impromptu, consistent, and fasting. If you're taking notes today, pray impromptu. What do I mean by that? In May of 2011, 11 years ago, my wife and I served, as was mentioned, in Western Europe. We had been serving as missionaries. And we had been in Ukraine a couple years, pastoring a church there for Masters International Ministries, when we felt led by God to come back to the States. And it wasn't because we foresaw the war. The same year, in the fall, I was approached by Brother Joel Martin, who asked if I would be willing to consider joining up with the developing All Nations Bible Translation. Over this time, I've been fasting and praying a lot and just crying out to God for wisdom to know how to be involved with missions or something at home. And I was praying a lot, fasting a lot, and just days on end. I recall kneeling down behind the wall while I was working and praying and crying. Praying for the lost and unreached. And God placed such a burden on my life that I would quit work early and go home and get some tracts and gospel signs and go up to a local town, State College, PA, and pass out literature and hold up my signs and pray and preach and witness. So when I got a call from Brother Joel Martin, it seemed like God was answering my prayer, like this was the direction he wanted me to take. And I could be involved at home with my family, little family, three children, my wife, and yet reach the unreached. I want to step back a couple years from that. 2004, I had been to, my date is correct, I'd been to Faith Builders Educational Programs one fall, I think it was 2004, and attended their Teachers Week. And I remember going to, we were in the kitchen area, and we were talking and sharing like I do, you know, talking and having a good time. And so I got away and walked back to the dorms, and I remember kneeling down beside the bed, was praying there a bit, and then I heard the door squeak open, so I jumped up, you know, like, can't anybody see me praying, you know, because we're a good Anabaptist boy, he's got to hide it, right? And so I walk out around the end of the bunks, and here comes this creature, and he was blonde hair, kind of skinny, kind of like me, except he was shorter than me, and we struck up a conversation, and it just seemed natural after we had been sharing together that we'd pray, so we began to pray together, and I still remember what he asked me to pray about, and he had a specific prayer request, and I had one for him. But something moved me that day to place this brother on my prayer list. It was in 2004. It was Joel Martin. And I began to pray for him. Every day, I remember writing his name on my prayer list. I prayed that God would touch his life and set him on fire for God and make him a man of God and just that he'd be used by God for his glory. What was intriguing then was that from that time forward, our paths began to cross, and I'd see him at Kingdom Fellowship weekend, you know, or maybe at a prayer meeting, or a number of places, and then at All Nations Bible Translation. My prayer seemed like it was being answered by God. So when Joel called me that year, 2011, when we got back from Ukraine, it was like an answer to prayer. It seemed like it fit the request. So I've been involved with All Nations Bible Translation from the beginning. I'd walk with Brother Joel. One of the things that Joel taught me, this is my point, is that he taught me to pray impromptu. I was a man of prayer, but he taught me something very valuable. It doesn't matter where you pray. It could be anywhere, anytime, any occasion. I'm not for war, but I think one of the main reasons that the country of Ukraine has been holding its own is because they have no really rule. It's just that all men, women, and children are fighting anywhere, anytime. There's just no rules. You know, Satan has your prayer times mapped out. He knows exactly when you're praying. He's got it. Before meal times, family times, Wednesday evening, Bible study, all the times you normally pray, he's got it down pat. And he'll hinder that. At midnight, or whenever your prayer schedule is, he's got it. He's got you. So when you're talking with someone about an issue and you are discussing something, the problems they're having, or maybe a special prayer request, if they say, "Would you please pray for me?" don't wait till the evening. Right away, stop. Lay your hand on them and pray for them, for their request. Catch Satan by surprise. And I call it praying from the hip. Joel and I would be driving along sometimes, and we'd be traveling, and all of a sudden he'd start praying out loud. I was like, you know, kind of unnerving. I wasn't used to that. You're supposed to pray in your closet or pray somewhere where it's, you know, nobody sees you or hears you. But I learned something very valuable from Brother Joel. Praying anytime, anywhere is very effective for overcoming evil. After all, I guess the scripture does say, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands." So pray impromptu. The next word I have is consistent. Pray consistently. Daniel is a good example of a man who prayed consistently. Every day he would climb to his windows and open them up to the east, and he would pray. He'd pray toward Jerusalem, the place of God. He was so consistent with his prayers toward the east and three times a day that those around him knew it. Even the king knew his habit. It says, actually in Daniel, it says, "Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." Now the king spake and said, this is what I want to say. The king spake and said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The next morning, it says, the king rose early and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake unto Daniel and said, O Daniel, a servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee? Daniel lived and prayed consistently, and everyone knew it. Daniel's success was due to his consistent prayer life. One of my goals for the last 20 years has been to get away every day and pray somewhere, an hour a day, if possible. Jesus said, could you not spend 1 hour with me or watch 1 hour with me? I think that's a good gauge to gauge our prayer time. But I would go over my prayer list and pray about an hour or two. Martin Luther said this one time. He said, he had so much to accomplish in his day that he had to spend at least a couple hours in prayer. I tend to have that, you know, turn around. I got so much to do, I can't pray, right? We jump up and run off to work or our business because we have no time to pray. Prayer is an act of labor, like I mentioned earlier. It's hard work to lift things to the throne of grace and to be consistent. My arms get tired, but I don't give up. Keep on praying consistently and continually. I've become creative in my prayer life. I like to go on walks in the woods with God, or maybe walk around the block where we live and pray as I walk. I pray for the neighbors, pray for situations in my heart. I write letters, my prayer time, write letters to God. Dear God, write a letter to him. And at the bottom of the sign, Harold Troyer, maybe I'll write a poem reflecting my worship of God during my prayer time. Write a poem or maybe a song about God's goodness or his grace or some aspect about God, reflecting my worship of him. I've learned that in my short lifetime that if I miss a day of prayer, it's easy to miss the second day of prayer. And then soon, like, oh, last time I spent some time in prayer was last Wednesday or whatever. Be consistent. Have a time that you pray, a place to pray. Keep pounding on the door and you will get attention. There's an aspect to praying consistently that is more than just getting attention, though. It's faithfulness. God honors faithfulness. God honors the prayers of those who walk faithfully with him, those who love him. There's something deeper there than just being consistent, but it's being faithful and obedient to him. In November of 2000, I attended a Christian Aid Ministries open house, and I heard Brother Dale Heisey speaking of the Mayangna Indians in Nicaragua, and I was deeply impressed with that talk, and he was reporting about the findings of a young Ben Sullivan and how they together had ridden dugout canoes back in the interior and to visit this group. And so after the talk, I was impressed. And so I put the Indians, the Mayungas, on my prayer list and began praying for them 22 years ago. Every day, over and over again, praying for them. Today, an accurate Bible translation is being pursued by Ben Sullivan, and he has a helper now helping him. And he's a part of the organization, All Nations Bible Translation. And God is answering prayer. God loves to answer prayer. Prayer indeed is potent. It has many facets. It's a mystery to me how prayer sometimes works. I don't always understand. But these are a few points that I've learned in my lifetime. There are many more, but I can just give you three today. Prayer, especially sustained intercession for the unreached peoples of the world who do not yet know Jesus, is action. Prayer is action. It's not the least you can do. It's the only thing you can do. There are also two cities I put on my prayer list years ago. And the reason I'm saying mine, because I know mine. I don't know yours. Perhaps you have a story to tell too. But these two towns, State College, PA, and Lewistown, PA. I began to pray for them years ago, about 20 years ago. But that's another story for another day. I work with Christian Aid Ministries Billboard Evangelism and have spoken with thousands of people over the years across the U.S. and Canada about their spiritual needs. And it's amazing how that there have been times I've been waiting for a call to come in and nothing comes in. And then I stop, I kneel down, and begin to pray. I pray for the United States or Canada and asking God to bring revival, help those hurting. Just like that, the phone will ring, and I'll pick it up, and somebody desperate for help, spiritual guidance and help. We begin to pray. We take strength or power away from the enemy, and it releases those who are held in darkness or in bondage, and helps bring them out and to rescue them. So pray. You see, when we kneel to pray, we help strip away what I call hell's power. Prayer is action. Our family actually visited a billboard caller this past winter. She lives in Atlanta, Georgia. I took her call back 3 years ago in January, and she was a suicidal caller in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And we were able to meet with her this past winter and had a great time together. She's rejoicing, doing great, and emotionally and spiritually well. But it took a lot of effort, a lot of prayer. Even today on my phone, I have a reminder every day to pray for this caller. So pray consistently. And it's easy, too, if we don't have a time set to pray for something, to let it slip. And all of a sudden you remember, oh, it's 4 days gone by. Be consistent. Those 3 days you've lost territory to the enemy. Now, probably this is the word I want to give to you that's probably the most, has made the biggest impact in my life. That is the word fasting. It's probably the hardest one, but it's probably made the most impact that I know of in the kingdom of God. I think probably I would credit our ministry, even Christian Aid, to the power of prayer and fasting. I heard a preacher once say that he's never been very good at fasting. He said when he doesn't eat anything, he gets so hungry. I'm like, well, okay, well, that's part of it, right? We fast and we get hungry because it tells God something. When the very part of your life, your essence of life, you begin to set aside, it gets God's attention. You know, we have not only pie, we have ice cream to eat with it, don't we, in our culture? We have not just potatoes, we have roast pork roast and ribs and whatever else along with it. I can say from experience that I've seen more prayers answered through fasting, probably than anything else that I know of. Just a note, a caution, that if we're not doing justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with God, then likely our fasting from food or from pleasure won't have the results it could. Okay? There must be a consistent, faithful walk with God along with fasting and prayer. As I said before, prayer is the power. It's the water wheel. It's the engine. It's the magnet. It's the fire. It's the soul, the access to power beyond every victory. Jesus himself said that without me, speaking of Christ, you can do nothing. Period. Nothing. Prayer connects the soul to the source of life and power. It allows for the source of life and power to flow in and fill up the soul and overflow to influence the world for eternity. Fasting has been a regular part of my prayer life, and I believe that if we want to move mountains and plant churches and win souls and change the world, etc., it's going to be through serious prayer. We must have a deep desire to do whatever it takes to get what we want and what God wants. Those things can be the same. Whenever we stop eating and start praying, it tells God something. And fasting includes more than just not eating. It includes things that you enjoy doing that you sacrifice in place of prayer. Remember the king? When Daniel was put in the den of lions that night, he didn't do what? He didn't sleep. He didn't listen to any music. He didn't eat. A couple things he didn't do there. That was fasting. A few examples of the results of prayer and fasting and of taking enemy territory from the enemy. One day I was walking along a country road in our valley and praying, and I was just walking and taking a good stroll, watching nature, and God began to speak to me. He said, Harold, he said, you've got fornication in your church. I stopped, what was that, God? He said, you've got, sin in your church, immorality. I said, God, I think you got the wrong church. He said, no. He said, God stood his ground. He said, nope, it's in your church. I said, okay. We have communion coming up Sunday, and I said, if that's the case, then I want to hear that communion has been canceled. We have a meeting, and then we want to have that revealed, the sin revealed. And sure enough, a couple days later, we had a phone call, and we had communion canceled in a members' meeting. God revealed the sin, and the church dealt with it. When you begin walking with God, and you're serious with God, and you walk close to God, and you're intimate with him, he'll begin telling you things that otherwise you wouldn't have known. I think that Abraham and Moses and men of old, they're men like us. They weren't some superheroes. They were like you and I, flesh and blood, Elijah, but they walked close to God. They were serious with God, and God talked to them. He spoke to them. They weren't perfect men, but they walked close to God. Another aspect of prayer and fasting, on December 5th this past year, I was speaking about prayer at a local church, Valley Chapel, in our community, and I was talking about how that before they call, before I call, before we call, God answers us. And that time, the CAM hostages were being held, and I was telling my friend this too, this aspect of how many times I begin to pray and fast. Before I begin to fast, even before, I already see God moving, working with the situation. Sure enough, the next morning, December 6th, in my inbox, there was a note saying that three of the hostages had been released the night before. And that day, we're planning to have fast day for CAM and for worldwide, fast day for the hostages. So before they call, I will answer. God loves to answer prayer. That was a tremendous answer to prayer. I think, too, with the release of the hostages, it was a clear answer to prayer. I have a little note about the fact that James was killed with a sword, but Peter was not. I think the reason was, this is my own personal opinion, is because James was caught and killed. But when Herod caught Peter, everyone was like, oh no, not again. And what happened? The church, all of them stopped. They began to pray. Just pray nonstop, 24/7, praying for Peter. And then God worked a miracle. He brought Peter out of prison. And we have the record of that miracle that happened there. Prayer is not a self-validating exercise. No, it's each and every prayer is a tiny piece of a great cosmic puzzle, which when fitted together will allow for the completion of the grand picture of the Almighty Lord's plan for humanity around the globe. In keeping with all we see of God's character and commands, we long for poverty to end, for justice toward the oppressed, for the blind to see, the lame to walk, for widows and orphans to be cared for those in chains to be set at liberty, for the earth to be rightly stewarded, for wars to cease, for those at enmity with each other to be reconciled, and for those who are lost to be found by Jesus in the salvation he brings. Many believers work faithfully to see these things come to pass. In the end, such a vision will probably never completely come to pass without the coming of Jesus. But we can, as I mentioned, through prayer, bring heaven to earth in some way in our life. It is this that is the ultimate purpose of the Great Commission. Even the evangelization of the entire world is not an end in itself, is it? Our mission is to see vibrant, growing, mature churches planted and multiplied among every people group. And so to fulfill our Lord's mandate. But this is only the preparation and completion of the bride. And her heavenly bridegroom awaits her readiness. Too often we immerse ourselves in the task but lose sight of its ultimate purpose. So I conclude and I repeat that prayer, the most powerful weapon in kingdom work, is truly an important part of all the ministries here today and also the evangelizing of all the unreached people groups in the world. I want to open up for questions from you at this point. I love questions and dialogue. I like that probably better than giving a lecture. So what are your questions today about prayer or any aspect of that or ministry as it comes to this? Very good question. So do we view prayer as just talking to God, or do we view prayer as actually a two-way street where we talk to God and God talks to us? Is that right? That's your question. So are you talking to God, but you don't hear anything back? That's a good question. So I actually had a talk to a billboard caller one day who was a believer. He was another denomination, and he was stressing that if I don't hear from God, I'm not a Christian. In other words, if he said that you read the Bible and you claim God speaks to you from the text, but if you don't hear from God, then you're really not a Christian. And so I took his question, I took his comments, and I thought about that. And I sort of agreed, but I disagreed, but I agreed, because God does speak to us from the text. He does speak to us from his word. But that's not the only way God speaks to us. We have a spirit that resides within us as a Christian, and that spirit speaks to you. It says in Romans, it says, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. It's a confidence. It's an assurance that we are his children. So he does speak to us. But that's a good question, a very good question, because I think today I've heard different ones saying, well, I used to hear God talk to me, but anymore I don't. Any feedback from you as to why perhaps today we have those who don't hear from God, but they used to? Any comments on that from you? Okay, there's silence. Okay. Is God silent? We talk about the okay, the lack of silence in our own personal, okay, that's a good point. I've thought of that too different times as I walked with God and spent time in prayer. When I was growing up, I thought I prayed and I read the Bible and I jumped up and ran to work. But I began to learn that, hey, I think I'm jumping up, running off, and God wanted to tell me something, but I didn't give him time to talk. So I began to, over the years, be quiet and be silent and allow God to speak to me. That's a very important point, is to be quiet. Just sit still, hold real still, and let God speak to your conscience or to your... It's amazing. I've already got a notepad out, and so I can say, okay, God, tell me what I should do. It's amazing what God will tell you. He'll tell you things. Sometimes not very comfortable what he tells you. He says, don't do this, get rid of that, go talk with that person. Oh, I wish I'd done that. But you know, God wants to speak to you. So prayer, yeah, I think it is a two-way street. It's not just us talking to God, but it's also God speaking to us. It's a walk with God. That's a good question. But I do think, too, though, that sometimes God is silent. I've had time when I've prayed and asked God for an answer, and he was silent. There was no answer. And I began to doubt God's existence, and wonder, okay, is God actually real? I don't hear anything. But after that valley, I came out, and it was like God just came clear. He says, you know, Harold, he said, just because you don't feel me, or just because there's no emotion, or just because I don't speak to you, doesn't mean I don't exist. That was really a powerful lesson for me in my journey with him. Thank you. Any more questions? Yes. Pray without ceasing. And what is your question? No, explain that. Okay, we don't pray all the time, do we? We pray at certain times. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. So was he praying without ceasing? Good question. I'll take your question a little bit later there. So my comment to that is this. My father was a man of prayer, and he prayed, he said, almost all the time. All day, as he was working, he'd be working, laying brick, and he'd be praying to himself. He'd be praying in his mind to God. And he'd be just in the morning, he'd wake up at night, couldn't sleep well at night, he'd pray during the night. Praying, just constantly praying without ceasing. In the Russian text, I learned Russian when I was in Ukraine, and it says, that verse says, don't stop praying. In other words, don't quit praying. I don't think it means to pray every moment, every minute, but just don't quit praying. Continue to pray. Consistently, every day. Daniel didn't quit praying, did he? When the decree was made, he didn't quit praying. He continued to pray. A good question. Thank you. Over here is a question. That's a good question. So how about just cutting out your dainties? Okay, we've got a lot of dainties, right? Just cut those out. No desserts. Actually, I've done that. I've done partial fasting, which I've said, okay, for this 40 days, I'm going to stop eating pie and ice cream and all the dainties and no meat. I'll eat the rest. And you'd be amazed what God will do with that sacrifice, if you're serious. Don't expect just not eating dainties and meat to somehow make that, somehow do something. But if you're serious with God and you do that, you have tremendous results. I'll guarantee you, try it. Just the discipline of not eating something doesn't necessarily mean you get in contact with God. I'm just saying that if you're serious with God enough to actually cut out some things in your life, even let's say the digital world, just say for a month I'm not going to touch anything digital. No email, no cell phone, no. You'd be amazed at what God will do, because he honors the sacrifice you make in regards to prayer. That's a good question. So if God already knows what we need before we ask it, why do we need to ask? So it was about 20 years ago, I knelt down to pray, and I was getting ready to pray here, and I started to, here's my list of things I wanted to pray for. And I was thinking, I like to think, right? So I was thinking, well, if God already knows what I'm going to pray, hey, I'll just get up and walk away. He knows what I'm going to pray. So I walked away, and I stopped. Like, wait, God knew I wasn't going to pray, so I have to go back and pray. So, I lose both ways. So I got to pray, because then he'll know that I was going to pray, right? So I couldn't trick God. He's got you. But I think that just because God foreknows what you're going to do doesn't mean you shouldn't do it or that he's controlling you. It's just simply that God does foreknow. That's all. He might even direct you as you pray because he foreknows what you're going to pray. So that's a good question. That's what gives me confidence that when I go to my place of prayer, right now it's at midnight, when I go to the office to pray, I had this sense that God's already there. He can hardly wait to meet me and to pray. We have fun. We have lots of fun, God and I. We get together and pray and talk about things, argue and have a good time. He wants that for all of you. It's not something boring you just do. You go to your office and you just, not again. No, it's fun. Prayer is fun. God talks to you. Yes. I've had results with both. Skipping one meal, I often do that. Day fast, I haven't tried that yet. I'm pretty skinny the way it is, and my wife wouldn't let me do it probably. But as far as the results, I think that God looks at your heart. He knows what's in your heart, and he knows if you have the physical ability to do what you can do and how much you can do. And he honors what you can do, because some people can actually fast 20 days. It's not a big deal. The next guy, he wants to fast for one day. It just tears him up. But God sees your heart. He might actually, I can't tell you, but I have this sense that he understands more than we do. He honors your desire and what you want. So to skip a meal versus 40 days, but there is something about the intents, the sacrifice, and the tremendous desire you might have to see something happen. The more you sacrifice, the more you fast with a sincere heart, the more results that you get. I think that's only what I've found, only a good gauge to go by. Yes. That's a good question too. And so I've had times when I've prayed and had felt like God spoke something and I wasn't sure. So I started to search. I'm like, is this from God? Like, I think this is God speaking to me. I'm pretty sure it is. But just to double check, I went to the Word and checked here. I might ask some brothers to say, hey, I've talked to them in the church about it. Just maybe vaguely, just ask some questions. And you begin to, after a while, get a sense that God was speaking to you. It's not so much that I didn't understand it as if I didn't really want to, maybe. Your flesh cringes, right? But it's good to double check in case you have some sort of pretty far out voice speaking to you. Better double check. I would say that in my experience with talking to people about the Lord, if the Spirit moves you to speak to somebody, you better do it right away. Like, why not? I don't think Satan would tell you to talk to somebody. But there's been times I've actually approached somebody to speak to them about the Lord, and God said no. Okay, so I backed off, and I didn't say anything. So it's good to be sensitive to what God tells you. That's a good question. Maybe one more. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that a clue as far as the widow who kept going back and knocking at the door and she had wanted an answer versus saying, not my will but thine be done, is that we can, I've often done this as I prayed, but with the same in the same mindset that if it doesn't happen, I'm okay with that, that God's will be done. Perhaps it was God's will that wouldn't be done, but I think it is, so I'll keep on praying. If I don't get an answer, that's okay. If I do, praise the Lord. So thank you for your attention, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.